It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 27-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So we have been talking, I can't even say how long, about the lack of sellers out there making the real estate market very, very tight and hard for buyers to find new homes. Is that changing?
No. Is that a quick answer?
Yes, it is. Yeah, go ahead. Well, tell us about it.
Well, actually, that's not true. And it depends on where you're located. The housing inventories rose in the third quarter from a year ago in 21 of 100 largest market areas, according to Trulia. So there is some movement that we're seeing in certain areas. The six metro areas recorded annual increases in the inventory were Fort Myers, Miami, Las Vegas, Fresno, California, Sarasota, Florida, and Oklahoma. So there is some areas. And, you know, these are called the Sand State.
Mm-hmm.
And these were also the areas that had the biggest declines when the market crashed back in 2006.
Yeah. It's kind of like the stock market. When you have a big market decline, those stocks that get hurt the most are usually the ones that rebound the greatest amount. So markets are very similar across different asset classes, whether it be real estate or stocks. And in this case, you're saying the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So what about in your market in Boca Raton? Has the housing shortage eased any?
You know, I just looked at the numbers a few minutes ago, and the inventory has actually declined a little bit,
mm-hmm.
which pushes the median price up when you have a lower level of inventory, shortage of inventory. Supply and demand is going to make the prices continue to rise. So that's what we were looking at in my immediate marketplace, with like an average of 75 days for a home to sell, which is pretty darn quick.
Yeah. But you know, South Florida is a growth area. There's a lot of building going on. And it seems to me that at some point in time, builders are going to take advantage of this shortage, and they're going to start building out more tract houses, buying up more land where they can. And, you know, it's not like we're running out of land in South Florida. I mean, we are buttressed by the Everglades to our west and the ocean to our east. But you can go north and you can go northwest a little bit. So anyway, in your market, are you seeing more new housing coming to market?
You know, I mean, my immediate area, there's really not a whole lot of new housing. It's a little further away. I'll call it the Everglades, for lack of better terms. It's all north and further west.
Yeah.
And what we are seeing is, you know, a lot of the investors scooped up these really cheap properties back again in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10. They've made a lot of money holding onto these homes, renting them out. And I think we might start to see some of these investors selling their homes to capitalize on their investments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, there was a report recently that basically stated, due with some surveys, that in general, people like real estate more than they like stocks and more than they like gold. Tell us about that.
Yeah, seems to be a stronger confidence in investing in real estate. And, you know, real estate as an investment, we're not talking about your home, you know, that you have a roof over your head. We're talking about an investment property.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at that as long-term investing. And when I say long-term, that's generally 10 years or more.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what people like about it, it's something tangible. It's something physical. They can look at it. They can, you know, touch it. Where money, you put it in the market and you can see your statements and the numbers look higher, but it doesn't feel the same.
I agree. You know, there's this sense of being able to touch it and to feel it, the bricks and mortar sense of things. But interestingly, when you're talking about investment properties, the metrics, the numbers are very much the same as they would be investing in stocks. It's just for some reason, it's harder to look under the hood when it comes to a stock. You have to know how to read a balance sheet, a profit and loss statement, look for what the return on invested capital is and things like that. But once you learn how to do that, you can become as comfortable in this intangible world of stocks as you can with the tangible world of real estate. But most people don't go that far, so they like real estate.
Yeah, and the thing about real estate, people have to understand too, because it's a tangible item, it's not easy to liquidate. I mean, yes, you could have a fire sale and sell it tomorrow, But with at least a stock, it's just a push of a button and you can cash out.
That's right. That's a blessing and a curse, Terry. You know,
it is.
Yeah. Most people make money on their homes if they hold them long enough, and they do. The price of their homes are not listed in the paper every day. Actually,
right.
That dates me, doesn't it? What paper? What are we talking
about?
It's not on my iPhone every second of the day, and I can't just sell it whenever I want to. I've got to hold on to it. I've got to list it. I've got to find a buyer. I've got to pay a realtor.
That's right.
These are very frictional costs to selling, so people tend to stay put. So a lack of liquidity is a curse, because if you need the money, you can't get it. But liquidity itself can be a curse because it's too easy to get.
Right.
Yeah. So that's good. So let's change gears here. I want to do our Ask a Real Estate Pro segment. Can a homeowners association charge owners extra for gate control access?
Absolutely. They can pretty much charge for anything that they want. And you see this all the time. One thing that's important also when you're talking about what homeowner associations can charge for or not charge for, I just recently ran into a situation where the seller was upset that they had to buy the homeowner association documents to provide to a buyer. And there's, you know, sometimes they charge you for application fees and all of this stuff, but they're allowed to do that, and they do. So just be prepared. You know, they may allocate, you know, one clicker per household, even though you have five cars.
Yeah. And they'll charge you if you lose it.
Right. They budget for those items. Yeah, but if you're asking for more than what they've budgeted for, plan on paying for it. And at some point you were initially issued HOA documents.
That's
standard. And if you lose copies of them and you have to purchase new ones, they're going to, you know, charge you as an individual rather than spreading the cost across, you know, the whole community.
Yeah. And I've got some extra ones that I can give to anybody they might need. My guest, as always, is Terry Story. Terry is a 27-year veteran with Coldwell Banker, located in Boca Raton, Florida, and she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.